Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide on this July 4th weekend. Hope you're having a wonderful time wherever you happen to be. Of course, we've been living on airplanes back and forth, up and down. Just flew back to where we are now, so get out your maps, boys and girls. 40 degrees, 42 minutes north, 74 degrees, 0 minutes west. We are in the Hudson River, actually. We're on the Hudson River on board the Norwegian Epic on Pier 88 in Manhattan, the brand new cruise ship. We'll be talking about that a little bit. And, of course, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the email address is peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here in the air. Normally, I talk to this man by satellite a long way away. He's either in New York or at the game, or he's at... He's somewhere, but he's never where I am. He is actually here because I'm in New York and he's in New York. He's actually Mr. New York. He doesn't like to be called that, but he is. He's the chairman and CEO of Loews Hotels, among other things. Jonathan Tisch. Hey, John.
Peter, it is very good to see you in person, and you look great, I have to say. I am really blown away. Keep it up, buddy.
68 pounds.
That's terrific. Yeah. That is really terrific.
Yeah, no stadium food.
That's not true. We are all evolving so that we have healthy alternatives in our facilities now.
Really?
And you can go to the new Giants Jet Stadium when it opens in about 2 months for the football season, and you will be able to eat something that would, I guarantee you, would be on your diet.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I should also say that Jonathan has a small affiliation with an NFL team called the New York Giants.
Go blue. 50% owners of the New York Giants.
That's right.
And you knew my father, Bob.
I
and
did.
This was something for a man who accomplished so much, a lot of it through the travel and tourism industry. Started in the hotel business in 1947. And for him, for the last 18 years of his life, to be co-owner with Wellington Mara, who is another wonderful legend in the New York area and through the sports world, brought him so much pleasure. And for us now to be able to work with the Mara family and in the legacy and in the style of Bob Tisch is very rewarding.
All those years that you were involved with NYC and company and really, you know, trying to get people to connect the dots about the power of travel and tourism and the essential connections of power of travel and tourism to the general economy. When you go up and down the West Side Highway or you go up and down just the West Side of Manhattan, and I remember growing up, there was a time when I'd see 7 or 8 ships at a time, as you remember this, because we're more or less the same age, lined up doing the transatlantic crossings, and it was an event, streamers.
It's so funny that you say that, Peter, because I was coming to the Epic, which is amazing, by the way, just a remarkable, remarkable cruise ship. We're coming here tonight, and I said to my wife, I remember coming to these docks every single summer because my grandmother would take a cruise to Europe.
And you'd see her off.
And I would see her off. And we would come year after year, and she would take the United States. She would take the QE1, not the QE2. And I have vivid memories of the cruise ships.
And my most vivid memories, my dad had a patient. My dad was a doctor. He had a patient named Mr. Bentheim. No one's ever heard of Mr. Bentheim. I never heard of Mr. Bentheim, except that in 1929, he took every last dime he owned and invested it in a stock called International Business Machines. So his dividend income when I was growing up was enough to sink a ship, okay? And what he did was he just booked world cruises on the old Cunard ship, the Franconia. And so twice a year, my dad would take me on a house call, a boat call, and we'd go down to the Franconia to examine Mr. Bentheim. And that's my first experience on cruise ships and bon voyage parties. And then 1 year, he didn't take the Franconia. He took the Andrea Doria. And I remember going to that going away party. And I still have this beautiful satin sash they gave me. It was a very beautiful liner. And you know what happened to the Andrea Doria.
You know the ending of that story, sadly.
Yeah, we do. And what happened to the Franconia, interestingly enough, they broke the ship up and it became the interior of a restaurant in New York called 15th Avenue for many, many years. It was the entire interior of that Cunard ship. But going back to my original question, okay, we grew up in Manhattan. We grew up saying goodbye to other people. We didn't get to go, but we got to say goodbye to them at least. Is it coming back? Is New York Harbor going to come back in a way that'll be bigger than ever?
You certainly are seeing that. You can now, on many days, see two or three cruise ships lined up here. The cruise companies understand the appeal of New York City as a destination. They understand that people want to come to New York, spend a couple days here, get on one of their great ships, and then travel, or do it in the reverse direction. You've now got cruise ships that are docking in Brooklyn. The Bloomberg administration made a real strong effort to ensure that there are some facilities over there also. When you look at the demand generators of why people want to come to New York City, they're still very strong. And yes, the last 18 months have been very difficult on our industry. You and I have talked about this many, many times. But New York City hotels are doing well. Occupancy is good. One of my concerns is that with the euro getting weaker, with the pound getting weaker, the dollar getting stronger.
Foreign visitors.
Will that have an impact? And the foreign visitors have been so important to us. So our goal in New York City tourism is to get to 50 million visitors by 2012. That was the mayor's goal. As you mentioned, for 6 years, I was chair of NYC and Company. I still have a very strong vested interest in a vibrant travel and tourism industry. Because also, as you and I have discussed, our industry, properly supported, can be a vehicle for job creation and economic development. And that's the message that we have to get our elected officials to understand.
They got to connect the dots. Or what we could do is commandeer all the cruise ships, reopen Ellis Island, and have everybody come over.
Or we'll take them to Governor's Island now. We have a big effort to build up Governor's Island.
Well, if they go to Governor's Island, they can buy artwork.
Very much so.
I know.
But, you know, there are 80,000 hotel rooms in New York. Business never got as bad as we were concerned about. We're hopefully in a place now where not good for the consumers, not good for your listeners, but rates are going to go up in the fall because there is that demand. You're starting to see the business travel.
Interesting enough, rates went up before because of foreign visitors, because the dollar was so weak.
The dollar was very weak.
Now they're going to go up because of what?
Because the business traveler is getting back on the road. Companies are feeling a little bit better about their bottom line. Consumer confidence, although still pretty weak, is getting better. But New York always is reinventing itself. There's always something to do in New York. You've got Broadway, you've got the museums, you've got the restaurants. We are a dominant global destination. And people, and also remember the millions and millions of people that are now going to be traveling out of China, out of India. These are individuals, these are families that have never had the capacity financially or their governments allowed them to travel before. They're now going to be coming to the United States because they want to see what we're all about.
There's pent-up demand.
Absolutely.
You forgot one country, Korea.
Korea, yep.
Here's a little known fact.
And Brazil.
The largest international airline that flies to more cities and from more cities in the United States than any other international airline, Korean Air, and nobody knows it. And they fly the most ridiculously interesting routes. If you want to fly from Los Angeles to Sao Paulo in Brazil nonstop, Korean Airlines flies it. How did that happen? But they're doing it. So when you go to Korea, that's what they want to come.
Yeah, and we've got to understand, we've got to build up our infrastructure. You talk about this all the time. We've got to ensure that our airports, our rail system is woefully weak. These are the kinds of issues. If we're going to stay as a strong, vital destination, if we're going to stay competitive with these new economies, especially China.
John, hold that thought for a second. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, and don't say go blue again. No. But when we come back, more with John Tisch, the chairman and CEO of Lowe's Corporation. Let's not forget the New York Giants. Okay, go blue. But we'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide on board the Norwegian Epic with more Redicus.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. With new RVs starting at just $5,000, years of great vacations just got more affordable and convenient. To get started on your road trip dream, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Norwegian Epic. Moored for the moment, berth for the moment, on Pier 88 on the west side of Manhattan, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. Speaking of that, I encourage you to go to our website, which has an amazing name, petergreenberg.com. because we have a comprehensive list there of every aid and relief organization working to help the people in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China because of the earthquakes, and of course now adding to that list everything that's going on in the Gulf. So please go to that website and get on that list. We've been talking with John Tisch, the chairman and CEO of Lowe's Corporation, not to mention the New York Giants. Go ahead, say it.
Go Blue.
Thank you very much. Okay. But in all seriousness, let's talk about three words. Wake-up call. The wake-up call we had was 9/11. The second wake-up call we had was the volcano in Iceland. And now we have the Gulf oil spill. I suppose, John, that the words wake-up call presumes we were sleeping.
Well, what you come to understand is how integral our industry is to so many economies. And the references that you are making are apt, because if you look at what happened to travel and tourism after the tragedy of 9/11, stopped dead in its tracks. When you look at the volcano, and I was stranded with my wife in Paris. And
I'm
so
feeling
we,
so
well,
stranded
well,
in
well,
Paris,
there,
John.
There's a backstory there, which I'm not going to bore you or your listeners with. But there are worse places to be stranded, I guarantee
Absolutely.
You.
I was stranded in London, so we can both
but,
feel sorry
but
for
But if you and I were doing the interview a week before, and we said, okay, let's think about something that could happen. Let's come up with a crazy idea. A volcano is going to stop air travel in Europe. We would look at each other and say, let's try and sell that to Sony Pictures. And they would say, no, too crazy an idea.
Right.
And then, obviously, the tragedy in the Gulf. And we have a hotel in New Orleans, and we've got a lot of friends that work in the travel and tourism industry. And you realize how dependent we are on strong economies. You realize the contribution that we make to creating strong economies. And for industries that depend on tourism, the people that depend on tourism for their jobs, these are vital moments, and you don't see them coming. You know, there's that old saying that stuff happens, and we have to deal with the fallout as an industry.
I know. But you can't deal with the fallout effectively unless you get people to finally connect the dots.
Very much so. And we have worked so hard. 15 years I chaired the Travel Business Roundtable, which now we merged into the Travel Industry Association. You have Roger Dow on all the time, who's the president and CEO of U.S. Travel. We have spent years meeting with the men and women on Capitol Hill, the people that make the decisions, but also taking it down to the next level. It's not just a federal issue. It's discussing with mayors. It's discussing it with governors, having them understand how vital we are to their economy. All 435 congressional districts have some type of travel and tourism that takes place in their neighborhood.
Right.
And we employ 17 million people, either directly or indirectly. I had a tour of this amazing vessel before we came up to do the show. There's 1,700 people that work on this ship.
Alone.
Alone,
yeah.
Exactly. So you see the power, and as you know, travel and tourism is now the largest industry in the world.
I mean, this ship, standing alone, is a huge cash generator, a huge job creator.
Right? And taxes.
Yes.
And creates a vibrant economy. And I think we're making some progress. As you know, President Obama signed the Travel Promotion Act. It was passed by Congress. And finally, the U.S. is going to be able to compete on an international basis. These new travelers that we talked about earlier, coming out of Korea, coming out of China, there are so many nations that are trying to get them to go to their country. They're trying to get them to go to Canada. They're trying to get them to go to Mexico. But we want them to come here. We want them to come to the United States of America.
Yeah, but you know the problem, John. If we are being perceived as an unwelcome, inhospitable place because we make it so tough to come, they won't come.
Well, we make it tough because and we obviously have to have secure borders.
Yes.
And we have to make sure that we're safe. But we also want to be a welcoming environment. And our studies show that when international visitors come to the United States, they spend a week here. When they leave, they have a much better appreciation of who we are as a nation and what we stand for as Americans. They have a much better sense of the freedoms that we embrace and that we fight for.
Now, credit where credit is due. There's a show on CBS called Undercover Boss. I think they stole it from you. I think they stole it from you because one of the first things that I just loved about what you did one day, you became a maid.
And a bellman, and a room service waiter, and a short order cook. And you're kind to remember, but I did a show for the Learning Channel, which is called, Now Who's Boss?
I know, I'm saying credit where credit's due.
On about 7 years ago. Yeah. I will say that the folks from CBS and from the production company, they did call because they wanted to do a hotel segment on Undercover Boss. The only problem is that
you're too visible.
I can't be undercover in our company. I know everybody that works for us, all 7,500 people.
You know what? You'd show up with a beard looking like a bad Abe Lincoln. They'd still know it was you.
Probably. The nose gives it away.
But the point is, credit where credit's due. You did this ahead of everybody.
We did do it. It was an amazing show. It was on the Learning Channel, as I said. And
yeah, but the biggest lesson that John shared with me was he now knows how to make a bed.
Well, you can reference that, but as you know, that became part of my first book. The whole notion of how I can sit in my office a few blocks from here in Midtown Manhattan, and I can make all the decisions I want about the future of Loews Hotels, but if it wasn't for the men and the women who come in every single day, who do make the beds, who do deliver the bags, who do cook the food, our company would be nothing. And that whole notion of creating partnerships, creating them with your coworkers, with your customers, with your community, which is the basis of my book that's out now.
Which is called?
Citizen U, Doing Your Part to Change the World. And it was released in May. And it's about this moment in time where a lot of the issues that we've discussed, where people feel frustrated. But this book is a guide to allow people to feel hopeful, to understand that they have in their own being, they possess the ability to become a citizen broadcaster, to become a citizen engineer, to become a citizen doctor. That's what Citizen U and our companion website, citizenu.org, really talks about.
Well, that really is almost embracing the whole concept of volunteerism, too.
Very much so. And when you think about the challenges that we face, and there are enormous problems that we're going to deal with every single day for years to come, but we have a responsibility. When you and I grew up, and we would think about water, we thought the water was going to be clean and was going to be endless.
Yeah.
We would think about oil. No problem. We'd pay, what, $3 for 20 cents for a gallon of oil.
You'd fill the tank for $3.
For $3. But now the next generation, the people, the young people that are growing up today, they realize that there are problems, but they want to do something about it. And that's what makes me hopeful. The 85 million millennials who are understanding that when they turn on the TV or they get the information over the internet and technology has changed the game, as we all know, they want to do something about it.
I know. But, you know, the thing is, they have to figure out the methodology.
Well, that's what we try to do in Citizen U, is give some real examples of individuals that started one challenge at a time, one person at a time, and they started a movement.
I mean, there's like that book, One Cup of Tea?
Right.
I mean, amazing stories about what one person can actually do.
Absolutely. So that's what we talk about. And then my TV show is doing well. It's now on Bloomberg. It's on five times every weekend. The only show on TV where CEOs are being interviewed by another CEO. So there's a lot going on. It's all good. All good.
All right. Say it again. Go Blue.
I'm not going to say it because now it sounds like I came on to promote the Giants.
No, you did that. You've already done that.
But the season hasn't even started yet, so.
All right,
but we will be in our new building.
I know.
Which is right across the Hudson from
and
where
we are. And Super Bowl in 2014.
2014. First time ever that the game will be played
in a cold weather destination.
Absolutely.
Before we had the Green Bay, the Green Bay game, but that was 67 or something.
Right. So we're very excited about Super Bowl coming to New York. The new stadium is a joint venture between the Jets and the Giants. Cost $1.6 billion. It's done. We had Bon Jovi there about 3 weeks ago. Football starts in 2 months. We are very excited about the new facility, and we're excited about another season for the New York Football Giants.
Now, we talk about the United States being welcoming to foreigners. Will the stadium be welcoming to fans? I remember when Yankee Stadium opened, they took so much heat because the prices were so out of control.
Our building has been open now for a couple different events. We had a warm-up Ecuador-Mexico to the World Cup. We've had Bon Jovi. We had the Eagles. The fan reaction has been amazing. They understand the care that we put into the new facility, and it's a great building. We're very excited about it. And it's going to be home to two amazing franchises, the New York Giants and the New York Jets.
And you can say categorically that you still have not found the body of Jimmy Hoffa.
Well, actually, the FBI, as the old building was coming down, the FBI put out a statement that they weren't looking.
Is that true?
Yes.
You know what? If the FBI puts out a statement they weren't looking, he's still there.
Well, the old building is down, and that's not part of the plan of the company that was taking it down. That was not in their marching orders.
The legend lives on.
Absolutely.
All right, John Tisch, the name of the book, of course, Citizen U, Doing Your Part to Change the World. And John does that every day because he's not just an executive of a profit-making corporation, but he actually cares about the city and the country in which he lives and has been able to connect the dots, which is what we hope that most of our elected officials will finally be able to do. And I would like to start a campaign right now to get all of our United States senators and congressmen passports. How about that? Only 40%. Of the senators and congressmen in this country have passports. John Tisch, thanks for joining me.
Peter, always great to see you.
And we'll be back with more from the Norwegian Epic. Okay, I'll say it again. Go Blue. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the Norwegian Epic. Brand new cruise ship docked right for the moment here on Pier 88 on Manhattan's west side. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And a few... Can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. One of our regular guests on the show, just like John Tisch, we normally do it by phone. We're in distant, remote locations. Same thing with this guy. He's in the middle of a missile silo or somewhere under a railroad track somewhere. Now he's actually on the ship. He has a great website, and I say this without exaggeration, one of the great resources in travel called johnnyjet.com. And you guessed it, he's actually on the ship. Johnny Jet, how you doing, man?
Good, how you doing? It's nice to be here.
Are you liking this ship?
I like it, man. The thing is huge.
Now, you and I have actually been on a number of ships together.
We have.
Right? Whether it's Celebrity or Royal Caribbean, right? Even Seabourn. What do you like about the ship? And then I'm going to ask you what you don't like about the ship.
Well, you know what? I just got on. I took a quick lap.
So so basically, knowing you, you like that you're on the ship.
I like that part.
Okay, I figured as much. Okay.
And I did have some food at Ocean's Pub.
Oh, please.
Which, by the way, I thought when they pronounced it, I thought they said it was Ocean's. And I was like, Ocean's? I was looking for an ocean sign.
Well, what they really did was change it to Ocean's 11. No? Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, what I like the most so far, and I haven't tried it out, are the slides. They have these three water slides.
Yeah.
You know, wrap around. One of them even goes over the railing just a little bit.
Whoa.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
It goes over the railing.
A little bit over the edge. Am I correct? I am correct.
So if the ship's rolling?
You know what? It will be hairy, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And you might get a really long dive.
When you go on a ship, what's the first thing you look for?
I look for the food.
Oh, jeez. You and everybody. Did you really?
Yeah, I love food. Look at my belly, man. Come
Stop
on.
Stop it.
I have to go rub it.
All right, so, Johnny, seriously, do you really judge the ship by the food?
No. You know,
lot of people do, by the way.
I mean, you always have to think about the food because you got to eat. But, you know, I like the rooms. I always look at the rooms, check it out. And these rooms, I haven't slept there yet. I'm not so sure because I'm not crazy about the bathroom because it is, you know, they say it's see-through. I didn't know it was see-through, but what I don't like is you can hear.
What do you mean? Hear what?
Like, you know, I had to go number one, and my sister was in, you know, watching TV, and she could hear. So I don't know if I like that.
Okay, so see through and hear through.
Yeah.
Wow.
The hearing part bothers me. The see through part.
See, the hearing part doesn't bother me because you can always imagine. You know.
I know, but you know, what if I had to do something else?
I'm still imagining.
Other than that, I like it a lot.
Well, you know, Carolyn Spencer-Brown was on the first hour of the show, and she said it was a little weird for her, too, the bathroom.
Yeah.
But she liked the design of the room.
It's funky. It's different. I like, you know, it's different. It's not like your regular cookie-cutter room.
What's different about it?
Well, there's a sink in the middle of the room. I walked in, and I was like, wow, there's the sink. Right when you walk in, on the right was the toilet, the left was the shower, and in the middle was the sink next to the TV.
Interesting.
It's funky.
Now, why do you think they did that?
Space. I'm guessing.
Yeah. But don't look around. Just talk to me. It's okay.
We got the CEO right around my corner, right around my...
I know.
All right.
Now he's going over to Ocean's. Don't worry about
it. I see him. He's like, you know, making this fist. I'm going to...
No, it's okay. No. They're short-sheeting your bed right now. There's nothing to worry about.
All right. They're putting itching powder in there.
Absolutely. So you're going to be on the ship for a couple of days.
Yep. Three nights.
Okay. You know, we talked about cruisecritic.com. And, you know, you're known for always coming on my show and giving us websites we didn't know about. We're going to talk a little about that later in the show. But are there cruise ship websites that you really like?
I've just talked about Cruise Critic today on a program. I mean, they have great deals and interviews. There's also cruisebrothers.com for deals.
But not just for deals. I'm talking about for information.
Cruiseguy.com.
Cruiseguy.com.
Yep.
And what makes that so good?
You know, he knows ships. He knows them. He's been around them for a long time, Stuart. And who else do I watch? There's a Cruise Diva. You know, I don't really read these websites that much these days.
Because you're too busy doing your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. That was a self-serving opportunity for you.
Well, you know, hopefully people will log on to the website.
Right. But the thing is, okay, you get on a ship, you look for the food. But my argument has always been,
You know what I like, actually? At Oceans.
Back to that again.
I'm sitting there eating my chicken tenders, and they have a bowling alley, three lanes. That was pretty cool. Right there.
So basically, you get tanked up.
And you can bowl. You got to like the bowl.
You know, if somebody had told me there's a cruise, and by the way, we did a special on CNBC on the Norwegian Pearl. They've got a bowling alley on that.
I haven't been on that.
But if somebody told me there's a cruise ship out there with a bowling alley, I'd go, who was on drugs when they made that decision? And yet people love it. Because after all, how many people, when was the last time you actually got up in the morning and said, I can't wait to go bowling tonight? Come on.
It's been a long time, but tomorrow morning, I'm going to be like.
You know why? Because you have the opportunity.
It's
here.
It's right there.
Okay.
And you're on a ship. I mean, you basically feel like you're in a city. There's so much to do. And to get to my room, I felt like I was walking to a city, or at least a block.
Okay.
Or more than one block.
So basically, after you eat all the chicken tenders, you can walk it off.
Hey, my rule on a ship is to take the stairs and not the elevator. And I went up and down these stairs already twice today, and my legs are starting to feel it.
So now hungry enough to go eat more chicken
tenders. I'm ready, man. I'm going to get some ice cream.
You're out of control. Okay, when you come back a little later in the show, we'll do what we always do, and that is talk about the websites people don't know. They're really wild, off-the-wall, crazy stuff.
I'll find some.
Oh, I know. You got them. I know you do.
All right.
Johnny Jett, of course, his website, johnnyjett.com, or you can hear him and you can see him in the bathroom right here on the Norwegian Epic. Back with more from the Norwegian Epic. Peter Greenberg here, Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Oh, is it number one or is it number two? Only Johnny knows, and the rest of the ship will be right behind him. Back right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour on board the Norwegian Epic, parked right here on Pier 88 in Manhattan, just temporarily, of course, long enough for us to come on and do our show. Happy to do it, too, by the way, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. When it comes to travel books or travel writing in general, I actually think I'll throw up if I see another piece on lovely London or beautiful Paris or romantic Rome. I don't think anybody needs me to tell them that. I certainly don't want to read that. So I'm always looking for people who are either thinking, reporting, or writing outside the box. And my next guest certainly has done that. The name of his book is An Irreverent Curiosity. But even better than that, let's talk about the subtitle, which is In Search of the Church's Strangest Relic in Italy's Oddest Town. How's that for a combination? His name, of course, is David Farley. Hey, David.
Hi, Peter.
I mean, I have to always ask this of any journalist or any writer. How did you come up with the idea for this book to begin with?
I stumbled upon the topic. And anytime you hear the words Jesus and foreskin together, then it's hard to ignore that. And in this strange village in northern Lazio, which is just sandwiched between Tuscany and Rome, they housed...
Which is not visited by many tourists.
Not many, no.
Like,
they housed
in
the church there for centuries, this unusual, unlikely holy relic, until it went missing about 20 years ago under mysterious circumstances. So I moved to this village, which is filled with artists and hippies, bohemian types, and tried to find out who stole this strange relic.
And what was this relic?
It was the holy foreskin, the foreskin of Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the show.
Too late now.
Banned that word.
Too late now.
But,
well, it was preceded by the word holy, so I think
yes,
you're okay.
Exactly, yes.
I think we're in good shape here. But, you know, it's amazing what organized religion will do in some cases to just focus on something, and that's all they've got to hold on to in this town. That was their reason for being, almost.
Exactly, yes. Precisely. I mean, the town was really isolated for a long time. It's a beautiful hill town on 450-foot cliffs.
So there are really good reasons that commend a visit there anyway.
There is. I've written about it for the New York Times and for National Geographic Traveler. And the village was in the process of being abandoned in the 1960s. And then artists and hippies moved in, perhaps. They were, you know...
Did they know about the relic?
They did when they got there, perhaps. The relic was still in the church there.
Okay.
And, you know, it was just in the process of being abandoned. It remained there until the 1980s, and then it disappeared. But the hippies and the artists are still there, and it's about half the size of a football field, this medieval hill town. And you go there, and there's an absurd amount of art galleries. There are lots of restaurants, and there are these people, you know, all these aging hippies. It's a great place to visit.
And there are also spas.
They're in north of
about
Calcutta.
About 10 miles, right.
Yeah, probably about 30 miles north of that, closer to Tuscany, there's a town called Viterbo.
Yeah.
And Viterbo is a really off-the-radar city of about probably 90,000 people, these super high, thick medieval walls surrounding it. And just outside the walls are these wild sulfur springs that you can bathe in.
So I have an idea. Let's you and I conspire, and we'll find another little hillside town that has nothing to recommend it other than the fact that it's another hillside town in Italy. And let's convince the church that we found the holy toenail clippings of Jesus.
Yes.
And we'll make a lot of money.
Exactly. The holy nail clippings were an object of veneration in the Middle Ages, so why not?
Now, on this odyssey that you went on, right, in search of this, mm-hmm. did you find it?
You'll have to read the book.
I'll tell you, I
did find out what happened to it.
Really?
And some of the theories were not far off. There are lots of wild theories about who stole the holy foreskin. And
that sounds like a bad folk song.
I got myself into the Vatican Library. I talked to Vatican insiders and got lots of great information.
And other than its historical significance, does it have a genealogical, a biological significance? I mean, what are they hoping that this is going to help them see or understand or divine?
Well, theologically, it's the only piece of flesh Christ could have left on earth. So that's what made it particularly special.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think people saw it as this certain anatomical part. I think they just saw it as this was the real flesh of Christ.
Nobody's worshiping at the altar of the foreskin, are they? Please don't tell me that.
No, but there were multiple foreskins floating around Europe at one time. Holy foreskins.
Oh, no.
And in Antwerp, scandal. In Antwerp, it had its very own chapel and someone, a custodian of the chapel. So there you go.
I'd love that. If What's My Line were still on the air with John Daly, you could flip all the cards and say, I'm sorry, you lost. You didn't guess it. He's the custodian of the foreskin. Amazing. The name of the book, An Irreverent Curiosity. You know, these are the kind of travel books you got to read because it gives you an idea of really what's going to be there when you get there other than the iconic museums. An Irreverent Curiosity in Search of the Church's Strangest Relic in Italy's Oddest Town. David Farley, thank you for joining me, man.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And when we come back, more of your calls aboard the Norwegian Epic. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour on board the Norwegian Epic, parked right here on Manhattan's Pier 88 in New York City. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. My next guest and I go back a few years, actually longer than a few years when I think about it, even though we may not want to admit it. And if you watched our CNBC special, which is still airing, by the way, about every 10 days, about a week in the life of the cruise industry, which features the Norwegian Pearl, then you will also see him on that special. His name, Andy Stewart. He's with NCL. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
All right. So here we are. This is the biggest ship you've ever built.
By far.
I mean,
yes.
I'm not even close, right?
No, it's much bigger than any ship we've ever built.
I asked this of Kevin Sheehan earlier in the show. I have to ask it of you. Do you get to a point of diminishing returns, not in terms of what you're offering, because you can always come up with new things to offer, but in terms of just capacity? Because I'm still seeing, and I said this to Kevin too, I'm still seeing, you know, 7-night trips to the Eastern Caribbean for $266 a night. We saw them even cheaper than that a couple of years ago. So the prices are actually getting higher, but not substantially. I mean, when you made this ship order, originally you had an order for how many?
We had an order for two.
And you actually then only ordered one.
Correct.
Because of the economy, obviously. But there are a lot of other companies out there like Royal Caribbean. They not only just did one Oasis of the Sea, they have another one coming out, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, so the real question is, all those orders were done at a time when the economy was better, the projections were more rosy. So now you've got to live with the capacity that you have. So the question then becomes, how do you fill the ships?
You know, I think we fill the ships with just a fantastically exciting product. There's so much on this ship. It's going to bring a lot of new people into cruising. You talk about Las Vegas. You look at how many people go to Vegas. Well, we're really offering Las Vegas entertainment on this ship. And those things, I think, are going to tell a story to a customer that isn't thinking about cruising today. And that's why these new ships are so important to industry.
I guess the psychographics are you want to appeal to their comfort level.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
And also their sense of curiosity.
I think so. It's a sense of curiosity. This industry offers incredible value for money. And some of the prices you talk about scare me to death.
But they're there.
They are there. But the good news is, for us, they're going up. And now is the time for consumers to buy, because really prices are going up. The booking window is moving further out. And, you know, ships like this and you telling our story to so many people is what's going to bring new people in, and price will go up.
You talk about the booking window moving out. I mean, we are a last-minute society. We've been trained by you, by the way. We've been trained by the travel industry to wait till the last minute to book because you get a better deal. Is that changing?
It's definitely changing. I mean, last year, I think we saw the closest booking window we've ever seen as the economy really was in some trouble. And we've steadily seen it push further and further out. And with that, we've seen pricing come up. Kevin was saying earlier that yields were up in the first quarter significantly. And we're going to see them continue to rise. So it's been a buyer's market, but it's starting to change.
We talk about, you know, touch points of travelers and what they like, what's a positive impact for them, and what's a negative impact for them. Obviously, when all the airlines were charging for checked bags, Southwest Airlines said, no, we're not going to charge. And even their own shareholders are saying, excuse us, you're going to leave $800 million of revenue on the table if you don't. And they said, no, we think we can actually move the market because it's such a negative touch point for passengers that if we don't charge for checked bags, we'll get more passengers. And guess what? They were right. They did move the market about 2 percentage points. That's $1.8 billion in revenue for them that they otherwise wouldn't have had. So it already more than balanced out what they were leaving on the table. Negative touch points in hotels, mini bars, you know, or the old days of phone charges. What's a negative touch point on a cruise ship for a passenger?
Well, we did it a few years ago. We introduced a charge for room service, and it was a huge negative. And so I think we've tried very hard to say what was included yesterday is going to be included tomorrow. But as we add new things, then that's okay, because consumers want more and more and more. And you can't keep adding everything that's included. So I think philosophically, this is a very inclusive product.
I mean, look, you can still come on this ship, and tell me if I'm wrong, you can still come on the ship and have your three meals a day, never leave your cabin, never do a shore excursion, and still pay the same base price.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can come on here and walk off without an onboard bill, if that's what you want to do. On the other hand, if you want to come on and do everything, do shore excursions and bowl and just do everything that's available on the ship, you can come off with a significant bill. So that's a great choice for customers, and that's really what it should be about, consumer choice.
Right, but there are certain people out there like Spirit Airlines, my most unfavorite airline. You know, Spirit Airlines, I keep saying they should change their motto to, we're not happy until you're not happy. I mean, they're the guys who figure out, okay, how can we really piss off the customer this week, right? They don't care, right? So it's not, and then they turn around and they say, oh, but we're offering the passenger choice. Yes, do you want to be pissed off about this, or do you want to be pissed off about that? So I guess the word choice can be taken either way.
Yeah, and ultimately the customer, they show their choice.
They vote with their wallet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what you're saying to me is room service with a charge didn't last too long.
No, it didn't last long at all. They told us very clearly that was not a choice that they were willing to make.
Like, see you later, right?
Exactly.
What was the one thing that you put on the ship that you think is going to work that you're now having second thoughts about? Or what's the one thing that you put on the ship reluctantly that you're going, wow, we're glad we did that?
The most exciting thing, I think, on this ship is this new suite complex that we're sitting in
travelers?
Today. The suite complex here that we're sitting in today. It's the biggest one we've ever built. Has more facilities on it than we've ever put into a suite complex. And from the transatlantic, our customers are saying it's an absolute win. A lot of them rebooked on board the ship. So I'm absolutely thrilled with the suites here.
All right. That's Andy Stewart, Mr. Suite Complex himself from NCL. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. And for those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming from the Norwegian Epic, parked right here on Pier 88 on Manhattan's West Side. Back with more right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.